Welcome to Christ Church. My name is Reverend Mike. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are in this next year People Sermon Series, online, campuses. Let's get into this right now. Well, within this series, the real idea of it is that no matter what we're facing as followers of Christ, there is hope for tomorrow. That makes us a next year person. Through all the adversity we might face, our faith informs us that everything's going to be all right. That's the hope that we have through Jesus. Last week, Reverend Shane helped us with that by talking about how we have hope in the midst of our job. And in just a moment, we're going to hear a little bit about how hope and faith, how they intersect. I'm going to bring us that. But first, our worship team is going to play us a song by James Taylor called Fire and Rain. The song was originally released in February of 1970, and it deals with three different situations in James Taylor's life that left him feeling a bit hopeless. It starts out with James Taylor's loss of his childhood friend named Suzanne. At the time of Suzanne's death, Taylor was in London working on his first musical, Break. His friends thought the loss would distract him from that opportunity, so they waited 6 months to tell James that Suzanne had died. He expresses that in the first verse. In the second, James is dealing with the battles of depression and drug addiction. He says in that verse, "Won't you look down on me, Jesus? Won't you help me make a stand? You've got to see me through another day." If you've ever been in a battle before, an emotional, an addiction, or some type of other spiritual even battle, the words "making it through another day," those will resonate with you. The third verse is when Taylor is coming to grips that he was famous. Taylor seems like he wanted to be famous. Then he becomes famous, and then he realizes that he cannot go back to the way things were without notoriety. This is a song that is searching for hope. Here is Fire and Rain by James Taylor. You know, when we're searching for hope, we can feel like Taylor, only seeing the extremes of fire and rain. Yet sometimes it doesn't feel like we have hope in our lives or hope about our futures. Before we can establish the amount of hope we have, we need to look at faith first. And this is the reason why. I believe that faith is going to lead us to having more hope. Did you know that God has already poured out an amount of faith within you? Let me give you a little bit of evidence of this. Whenever you have a spiritual sense something's happening more than your eyes can see, that's evidence that God has placed faith in you. Whenever you feel like God is reaching out to you, maybe it's through a person, maybe it's through a worship service, that's evidence that God is reaching out to you. And here's a little bit more evidence. Maybe there's a time in your life where you're like, everything is coming together just perfectly at the exact right time. And you think to yourself, this can't be just a coincidence. It's not. That's letting you know that there's a God, that there's faith already placed inside of you. But did you know this? Just because you have faith, it doesn't mean you have hope. Why is this? It's because the amount of hope that we have is connected to the way we live out our faith. I think many times we confuse faith with biblical knowledge or religious duties, yet there's more to faith than just what we believe. Sometimes we treat belief as just an intellectual assent, what we say we intellectually buy into, but if that doesn't connect with the way we live, it's really pointless. It's like this, we can say every word of the Apostles' Creed, but it doesn't mean we actually believe it. Whenever there's a gap between our faith and our actions, our hope begins to go down. And let me show you what I mean today by giving you a hope meter. This represents when we are full of hope. When our hope meter is on full, we have an inward confidence that God is working everything in our lives together for the good. We know God is good, and he's preparing something great that's coming our way. Now, our outward situation, it can still look bleak, yet our hope meter, it can still stay full. We have this confidence inside of us that no matter what's coming our way, no matter what we're in, God is on our side. But sometimes our hope meter is only halfway full. Now, when our hope meter is halfway full, we start to run into a little bit of trouble. We know God's real. We know that God is able to help us, But the outside world, with its trials and tribulations it brings, it seems to be more real than our God. We may know God is greater than what we're going through, but I'll tell you this, it doesn't feel like he's greater. When our hope meter is half full, it kind of feels like we're on a roller coaster. Some days we are on the ups, other days we are on the downs. Sometimes we even start questioning ourselves when our hope meter is halfway full. We start to say, wait a minute, am I going through this because I've made a mistake? Or we start saying, am I outside of God's will? Probably that's not exactly the case. It's just when your hope meter is just halfway full, it's a little bit harder. We get disturbed a little bit. But you know what I found? I found that even in most seasons when our hope meter is halfway full, we actually get through stuff pretty well. And I bet a lot of us are actually in that place today. Now let's talk about a low to empty hope meter. When our hope meter is really low, like the indicator has been on for a really long time, we feel a constant sense of defeat. It makes us feel like we can't get one win, let alone get a winning streak going. When our hope meter is low, we feel like God is unable to help us. And many times, we kind of aren't even thinking about God anymore. He's not even an option to help or to come into our circumstance. I don't know where you find yourself on the hope meter today, but I want to give you some tools that will help your hope meter rise. The Bible is the one that's going to ultimately do that. In our scripture today, we're looking at the book of Hebrews. Now, Hebrews is a difficult book to study because we're not really sure who wrote it, when it was written, and to whom it was written to. But here are two things we do know. First, Hebrews heavily reinforces the idea that Jesus and his sacrifice are more powerful than anyone or anything that we could encounter. In other words, whatever we're going through, Jesus is enough. Here's the second thing we know. The original people this was written to had faith in Christ, but what they were going through was making them question if their hope in Jesus. They felt like they were losing hope day by day. Their hope meter was lowering. So they started to ask themselves questions like this. If my hope is dwindling, is Jesus really enough to handle my situation? Here in chapter 11, we hear about the definition of faith. We hear about mighty men and women of God. And we hear about how God is faithful in the midst of us waiting upon him. In other words, we can have the same hope that they've had. So how do we get that type of hope? And what type of faith does it take for our hope meter to rise? An active faith. Our active faith makes our hope meter rise. Now, how do we get to the point of having an active faith? I think we're going to need three things. We're going to need authenticity, accountability, and reliability. First, let's talk about authenticity and how that relates to other Christians. Now, why is authenticity important to having an active faith? If you're authentic with others, they will know how to pray for you. If you're not authentic, then people don't know how to pray for you. I don't know about you, but whenever a lot of people are praying for me, my life goes much better. But when there's not a lot of people praying for me, my life gets worse. Authenticity means we have to choose to open up our lives, our thoughts, our joys, our struggles, and our hopes and fears with others. This can be tough to do for a whole lot of reasons. But one reason I want to talk about here is that sometimes I think our lives are too busy to be authentic with others. I used to think most people had a hard time being authentic, but I don't believe that anymore. I think a lot of us are able to be authentic. We're just too busy to do so. Being authentic challenges us to slow down, evaluate how we're doing, what we're going through, and take the time to share with others about that and to share with God about that. Some of us have to slow down our worlds in order that we will be able to show our authenticity. There's a verse that I love that speaks about us becoming too busy to be authentic. It comes in 2 Corinthians, and the Apostle Paul and his ministry team were trying to help the Corinthians with their faith. So Paul says this to the Corinthians. He says, "Make room for us in your hearts." The Corinthians had too much going on in their lives, and all the stuff they had going on in their lives was actually crowding out the ability for them to have a more active faith. When I think about that, I think it begs the question, are we making room in our hearts for the people God is sending to us? I would hate if our worlds are moving so quickly that we miss an opportunity to be authentic with the people God's sending our way. You know, with Valentine's Day too being this last week, I think it's a challenge for us to be authentic in our marriages as well. You know, our spouse is supposed to be the person we can be most authentic with. And how does that work in the marriage covenant, or why is that important in the marriage covenant? It's important because once we open up our hearts and we're authentic with our spouse, then they know how to pray for us. They can bring our deepest needs, our deepest fears, what we desire about the future. They're the ones who's called to go to the prayer closet and lift that up before the Lord. Whenever they do that, our hope meter will begin to rise. So let's make sure we're being authentic with others. Let's make sure we're being authentic with our spouses as well. What's the next thing that we need? We got to have accountability. One reason someone's hope meter will go up and down is that they lack accountability. They need someone in their lives that will hold them to a high standard. Now, the idea of accountability can cause confusion for some of us. I think there's a couple reasons it causes confusion. First, I think we often think of accountability as someone telling us what we cannot or what we should do. This type of accountability is more like a parent-child relational dynamic, and it doesn't represent healthy Christian accountability. Another confusing element about accountability is sometimes we think accountability is telling us what we are not. What we are not. And I think we do that sometimes to find motivation to be better. And let me give you an example of that. I had a Christian friend a few years ago who was trying to get into shape. He was a lot like many of us. He'd get a gym pass. He'd get his diet right for a little while. And he started to look better. And he started to feel better. But then, like many of us, he would fall out of the routine and feel terrible about himself. He got onto one of his workout kicks. And he said, "Hey, Mike, can you keep me accountable?" Well, I wasn't going to the gym nor dieting. But I said, "Sure, I'll try my best. What do you need from me?" My friend looked at me. He told me that every time I saw him and I didn't think he was in shape, I needed to tell him how fat and disgusting he looked. I couldn't believe it when he said that to me. I said, "Dude, I'm not going to say that to you." But as time went on and I got to know this friend even more, I found out that he got a lot of motivation for feeling bad about himself and feeling guilty about himself. It gave him the motivation to be, but it was the motivation about what he was not. In his case, it was not being in shape. After time went by, he got back into the same rut he was in before. He was not maintaining, he was not growing in his health. True accountability, people of God, it doesn't focus on the things we are not. It focuses on the things that we are. This type of accountability that helps us reach our active faith potential, it centers around relationships. Relationships that demonstrate true care for one another, true interest in one another, and true sacrifice for the betterment of our brothers and sisters. Now, we might not be the best version of ourselves yet, and some of us, yeah, we may be a long way off, but accountability pushes us to be the person God sees us as. It calls out the best version of us, the person that we're created to be. Let's not shy away from accountability so we can maintain and grow in our hope. The final thing we need to have an active faith and for our hope meter to rise is reliability. Now, the type of reliability that I'm talking about here, it doesn't depend on us. It depends on God's reliability. The question for us is, do we believe that God is reliable? When God promises there's hope for tomorrow, do we believe him? When he promises that everything's going to work together for the good, do we believe him? You know, questioning and doubting God's reliability doesn't mean we're sinning. It's just part of our nature to question. There's an old story that I love about Billy Graham. Billy Graham tells this story. It's about himself. He was in a small town in his early evangelist days on one of his crusades where he would go from town to town, kind of a tent revival thing, and they'd tell people about Jesus. Well, the crusade was going to be at the nighttime, so Billy's just kind of walking around downtown, and a little boy comes up to Billy. This is years and years ago, and the boy says to Billy, "Sir, can you tell me the way to the post office?" And Billy Graham, the evangelist, never missing an opportunity, standing there tall and slender, gets a big smile on his face. He leans forward with love and conviction in his eyes, and he says, No, son, but if you come to my crusade tonight, I'll tell you the way to heaven. The boy just looked back at him and said, I don't think I'll come. You don't even know the way to the post office. How was Billy going to know the way to heaven when he didn't know the way to the post office? Sometimes we wonder, how can God's promise there's hope for tomorrow when my today is going so poorly? It's in our nature to doubt God's reliability, but it's also in our new nature to trust his reliability. So to finish this up, I'm going to give you a process the next time you have the opportunity to walk out in active faith. We've had 5 pieces of hope in this series, and here's what they are. First, stop, control your impulses, think, choose, and act. If we want our hope meter to be on full, we're going to first have to stop and identify situations where we can have an active faith. We need to identify if our world is going too fast to be authentic with others. We need to ask ourselves, how are we really doing? And how are our lives going? And how are the relationships that we have? Are we taking the true us to people? And are we lifting the true us up to God in prayer? Are we being authentic? Next, we need to control our impulses. You know what? No one really ultimately likes to be held accountable. It's just a discipline you get in because it makes you better. We may not want to rely on God, but we have to think and ask, if I am accountable, if I do rely on God, what are the positives that are going to come out of my life? And let me tell you, the positives are going to be innumerable. Then we need to go with that instinct and choose and act upon what God wants us to do. If we do that, our hope meters are going to be on the rise. And no matter what we are facing, we will be these next year people that we have been talking about. So, how high is your hope meter today? There's nothing to be ashamed of if your hope is low. Just see it as an opportunity to take an active step in faith. Once we do that, we're going to have the hope-filled confidence that only God can give us. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you so much for being with us today and to speak into our hearts and to our minds. Lord, sometimes, God, belief, we have belief and then we have a gap. And sometimes, Lord, that's the reason why we're feeling hopelessness. There's other of us, God, who are walking with you, but maybe our hope meter isn't all the way full, but we need it to be. We pray, God, that wherever we're at, we will see not 1,000 steps to take, but Lord, maybe the most important act of faith step to take. If that's being authentic, if that's being accountable, if that's just relying upon you, whatever it is, give us the strength, give us the discernment, give us the eyes to see that, Lord. We thank you, God, and we claim, Lord, over the coming days, weeks, and months, that our hope meter may be more full than ever before. God, that we might have that inward confidence, Lord, that no matter what's going on in our world, we are carrying the hope that comes only from Jesus Christ. It's through his name we pray this. Amen.